A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact, affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley and I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connection to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. My conversations will centre on how breast cancer has informed their perspective on life, love, family, health, their goals, and indeed their aspirations. Although each story is utterly unique, the one common thread that runs through each one is that breast cancer is more than a lump. Dara McDonough found a lump whilst in the shower one morning. In today's podcast, Dara tells a powerful story from a male breast cancer patient perspective, finding himself in the unfamiliar surroundings of the waiting room of the breast care centre, feeling like something of an outsider amongst the women around him. Now a longtime supporter of the work we do in Breast Cancer Ireland, he's helping us to raise the profile of the disease amongst the male population at large, as many people still don't realise this disease can affect anyone of any age, not just females. Dara, you're very welcome to More Than a Lump. We're delighted to have you here with us today to share your story with our listeners. Take us back to that morning in the shower and the beginning of your breast cancer journey.
The beginning of the journey, Aisling, was, as you say, in the shower, my morning shower, and just washing myself, and my hand went across my breast and I found a significant lump. I thought nothing of it insofar as I didn't think cancer, I didn't think cysts, I just thought it shouldn't be there. It wasn't sore, so I quickly forgot about it and got dressed, went off to work. Next morning was the next time I thought about it because I felt it again. And I let it go for about 3-4 days maybe. And I just said to myself, that shouldn't be there. And it was significant, not sore. So I decided to make an appointment to see the doctor. I went to see my GP. And I went in on a Monday and he told me that he could scan it. If I come back on Thursday, the technicians would be in surgery and he'd be able to do a scan, send it to Dublin, which I duly did. He said more than likely it is just a cyst and sent it up to Dublin. And about a week, 2 weeks later, I got word down from Prof. Mara Stokes Clinic that they wanted to see me. Again, I didn't think of breast cancer, Aisling, because breast cancer has never affected my family. My mum, my sisters, my aunts, nobody. I've never heard of anybody having breast cancer. I knew breast cancer existed, but it was a woman's disease, so I did not think of breast cancer. I went down to Mara Stokes Clinic and sat in the waiting room, was called in. I wasn't really sure why I was there. Apart from I have a lump on my breast. He said that he saw the scan and he wants to further investigate and he wants to do a biopsy. So I had to go over to the Mater the following week and they did a biopsy. And at the same visit, they did a mammogram.
Interesting doing a mammogram on a man.
It was an experience, okay. When they mentioned a mammogram to me, that they were going to do a mammogram. I didn't know it was an x-ray of the breast for cancer, but I knew it was something that women have done, men don't. So I went down and we did the mammogram. And the next week I was back over Mara Stokes Clinic again in the waiting room. And he called me in and that's the first, Dara, you have breast cancer.
What did you feel like?
It all felt surreal. It was very hard to take in because, I mean, he may as well have told me I was pregnant because how could I have breast cancer? I'm a man, I haven't got breasts. You know, and there was two breast care nurses there as well. They were introduced to me. And one of them, I remember, put her hand on my shoulder And then I turned around to Prof Stokes. I said, what are we going to do? My exact words, so. And his words back to me, he said, Dara, it has to come off. I says, we have to take your breast and your nipple. So I said, when? When's this going to happen? And he said, what are you doing next Thursday? That's exactly what he said to me. So I said, I guess I'm meeting you somewhere, Prof. He said, right, 7 o'clock Thursday morning in the matter. And 7 o'clock Thursday morning, we went into the matter and I had the deed done.
Wow. And tell me this, how did you feel when you were coming for your various appointments, whether it be with Professor Stokes or whether it was in the matter, in a waiting room predominantly with women?
The first time, I didn't really notice or think anything because breast cancer wasn't there. Like, I didn't know. But when I had and when I was in the matter, I didn't think about it either because I was very nervous. I was going for the biopsy, which was very sore, I'll let you know. And then the mammogram was, so I wasn't waiting that long, and I was very confused about what was happening. How can I have breast cancer? But when I had the when I had the mastectomy, I had to go back every week for about 5 or 6 weeks. Because when you have the mastectomy, there's a pocket left where they take the breast tissue out. And this pocket fills up with fluid. So every Friday, and it fills up with fluid, and you end up with a small boob. So every Friday, I had to go back in to get it drained into Morris Stokes' office. And it's then that I was sitting in the waiting room. And I knew why I was there. And I knew, it was then I realized this is, everybody in here is breast cancer, you know. And then I noticed that people wouldn't sit beside me. They wouldn't look at me. A lot of them would turn away from me. Now, I know now why, as in they must have been absolutely terrified for themselves, and then wondering, why doesn't that man wait in the car for his partner? Because I'm sure the vast majority of them, like me, men and breast cancer, it doesn't happen. But I'd say, I know now, like, they must be absolutely devastated. They're either going for the mastectomy or they're after having it. Mm-hmm. And now I know, like, I mean, okay, I've no right nipple, badly scarred breast and all that, but I'm a guy, it does not bother me. But I really started thinking an awful lot about those women in the waiting room, mm-hmm. as in what they're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And consumed by fear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. My first time in there, it wasn't fear because I didn't know why I was there. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know why I was there. And then for the 5 weeks after I was back in his waiting rooms, I already had the mastectomy. I had it all done. I had a 2 week wait after the mastectomy. He took the lymph nodes out. He explained to me that the cancerous, the tumor, which is the lump, it erupts, the cancerous cells leave it, and they go to the lymph nodes, because that's the vehicle that they use, the lymph fluid, they join the lymph fluid, and that's how they get around their body. So he explained that to me, and he explained to me he took the lymph nodes out, and he was going to test them, because they leave a trace when they go through the lymph nodes, that's the right. cancer trace. Mm-hmm. So he explained all this to me when I was in the hospital after the mastectomy, and I had a 2 week wait, which was pretty nerve wracking now, because at that stage, I knew breast cancer, I knew I had breast cancer, I knew I had the mastectomy. He told me about the lymph nodes, and I started to learn about what was happening. And yeah, I was pretty nervous.
Did you do Dr. Google?
Oh, of course I did.
Oh dear.
Of course I did. And
that'll keep you awake at night.
Yes, and I would highly recommend people don't go. There's nothing positive in it.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
No, just lots and lots of fear.
Negativity, fear. I was done. If I had 5 years, I was lucky. I was done and dusted. Very, very negative. But human nature, you just have to do it. You just have to do it.
Yeah. Well, you want to equip yourself with as much knowledge as you can, and that is understandable. But as you say, the amount of inaccurate information and hysteria that Dr. Google can cause is horrendous.
Absolutely. Very, very, very frightening as well. Very, very frightening. Yeah, yeah. But I go back to Prof. Stokes' clinic, and he said, Dara, they didn't go through the lymph nodes. And I knew when he told me that, the reason why it didn't go through the lymph nodes is that I went to my doctor in Drogheda. And he, you know, it was just
early detection.
If I had have left it. Now, there's one thing I will say about the tumour, about the lump. I shower every single morning. I got off for work on Friday morning. I had a shower, got dressed, went to work. That tumour was not there. I know it wasn't. And on Saturday morning, it was. That came up. Now, again, through Dr. Google, apparently that cancer was in me for 2 or 3 years. But the tumour itself, the lump, was not there on Friday morning. I know for a fact it wasn't. And on Saturday morning, it was there. And that's, again, 2.5 centimetre lump. It was a significant lump. It came up overnight.
Yeah, and I suppose even for the listeners, you know, the statistics are 1 in 9 women, but equally they're 1 in 1,000 men who will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And I think for a lot of people, they don't realise, especially men, that they have breast tissue in their chest wall, and that it can, you know, your breast area, even with women, it goes right up to your collarbone and right in under your arm.
You know,
and that is the same for a man.
Absolutely, yes. You know? Absolutely. I'm another man now who, I didn't know we'd breast tissue. That's one thing Dr. Google told me. We all have breasts.
And I know you're very passionate about raising awareness.
I am, actually, because I'm living proof, excuse the pun, that if you get this on time, it is so treatable. If you get it on time, it is so treatable. The people in the matter are excellent. They're professionals. They're just my whole experience, apart from the embarrassment and at the start, in the waiting rooms, being the only man in a man's woman, or in a man's world. Sorry, being the only man in a woman's world. It's so treatable. That is why I am so passionate about it. I know for a fact that if I had have left that, I would have got secondaries. Mm. I would have had to, because the cancer cells would have went into the lymph nodes and would have traveled around the body in the lymph fluid, and I would have got secondaries. And best case scenario was chemotherapy, right? You know, it's, but it is so treatable. It really is. I went into the hospital on Thursday. I was out of hospital on Saturday. I was back in work on Monday.
Wow. Tell me this. How did you tell your wife and children? How did you find that?
How did I tell them? I came home from it when, after the, I didn't tell them at the start because I didn't know what was happening. After the mastectomy, I came back and I told family that I had a mastectomy. To see, again, it was to see what the lump was. I still wasn't talking cancer. And then when Prof. Stokes told me that I had breast cancer, I went back and I told my wife, my kids are 17, 20 and 22. they're all in college and they're all going through their own thing at that particular time. And I decided I'm not going to tell them their dad has cancer, you know, because I just didn't want them worrying until I found out, had the cancer cells gone through the lymph nodes. If they went up to the lymph nodes, I would have told them. Mm-hmm. I would have sat them all down and explained, look, this isn't looking good, but it's not the end. I mean, I can get chemotherapy, and hopefully if I do get secondaries, they'll be able to treat it and all that. So I decided I'd wait until I find out if the cancer had got into the lymph nodes before I'd mention cancer to them. Mm-hmm. And it didn't, so I did tell them after.
But no, I'd say they were shocked.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They were shocked, but not shocked insofar as a man's got cancer. Shocked hasn't their dad's got cancer. You know, that was their shock. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people, friends of mine, were shocked that a man got cancer.
Yeah, breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I suppose, look, the most important thing, as you say, Dara, is everybody, man, woman, it doesn't matter. We all just need to be breast aware. We need to understand and know what's normal, because like that, you knew there was an abnormality when you showered on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You know, and early detection is key. We talk about it all the time, you know, trying to say to people, you know, check yourself on a monthly basis. If you spot an abnormality, go straight to your GP, because early detection is key.
Early detection is key, Aisling. I mean, we're saying check yourself once monthly. I would go further. I now, because I had breast cancer in my right breast, every morning when I'm having a shower, I check my left breast. I mean, it's so easy to do it. It takes seconds. Mm-hmm. Your hand up on your arm, down the side of your breast, across your nipple. You just feel around it with your fingertips. So, I mean, once a month, okay, a major check, yeah, and a visual check for the other. I mean, it's more than just a lump, as you're promoting. There are so many other symptoms there.
Right.
But once a month, a major check. Mm-hmm. But every morning in the shower, you can do a quick feel, a quick poke.
Yeah.
And I do now, every morning since that, I have a good look. And as I said, I'm just so happy that I knew there was something on my body that shouldn't be there, and it wasn't there before, and I didn't know what it was. So again, it's a red warning light on the dash of your car. If I got up in the morning and I saw that light on, I wouldn't keep driving the car for days or weeks. I'd be on the phone straight away to a mechanic. Can you come and fix
this? Absolutely. And I think that's the key, that's the critical point, is that people shouldn't dust it under the carpet. They need to go and have it explored, rule everything out. You have to trust your gut.
Well, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. It's so, it is, breast cancer is serious, but it is so treatable.
It is, when it's caught early.
It has to be. Once it's caught early, mm-hmm, it is just so treatable. And that's the one thing that I have learned about it. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, in that just go about it. How could you? I can't comprehend somebody leaving what I had, because you couldn't miss it when you're showering, and you couldn't miss. You couldn't leave that there for weeks or days or weeks or months. Just I couldn't anyway, because I knew it shouldn't be there. I knew there was something wrong. Could have been just a cyst. It was cancerous tumour.
Well, Dara, thanks a million for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And I think if we can take anything from today, it is that it is more than just a lump, but also it is so important to check yourself on a regular basis and understand the 8 signs and symptoms that you need to be aware of.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks a million.
Thank you, Osha.
The information in this podcast is based on the personal stories of those we have chatted to. If you are concerned in any way, please contact your GP immediately. Or you can contact us at breastcancerireland.com. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Goodbody, Ireland's longest established stockbroking firm, supporting initiatives that have a lasting impact.